Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
In regards to what we've been preparing for and getting ready, if you recall, last week I started talking to you about receiving the ministry gifts. If you recall over in Ephesians, the Bible says that God gave gifts unto men, some apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Now, if he gave them as gifts, how many of you know that you have to be in a position to receive gifts, right? Somebody can bring you a gift, but if you don't receive it, then again, there's not an exchange. They just brought a gift. So in other words, if there is a gift, we have to position ourselves in order to receive those gifts. And I said last week in regards to our church, and again, I was just being transparent with you, and that is that, you know, over the years, we've not done a good job in introducing or teaching you in regards to the ministry gifts. And actually, it's been reduced down to just simply numbers, budgets. You know, well, can we afford to bring somebody in? And so it's always been limited. But if you look at the scripture, the Bible says this. It says that those ministry gifts are given for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. So not just the pastor, all of the ministry gifts are necessary for our maturing. And then it goes on to say, not only for the maturing of the saints, but for the work or the purpose and plan of God for your life. So you'll never step into the fullness of God's plan for your life if we don't have ministry gifts speaking into our lives. And then it goes on to say, for the edifying or the building of the church. And so I'm ashamed to say, or just embarrassed to say, that, you know, we've allowed money to be a dictator of whether or not we can have somebody come in or not come in. Well, I was probably a year and a half ago, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, that's not going to be anymore. I said, but because I've seen how it's kind of handicapped our church. You've needed more. You've deserved more. And I said, God, we're just purposing not to allow our bank account to tell us whether we can bring somebody in. But we're going to respond to you and say, God, what's your plan? And so God threw us in the deep end on this one. I mean, this has been a year in the making. Pastor Hagin says, yeah, we'll be coming your way. And so I was like, well, praise the Lord. And the closer that it gets, you start sweating. You know, it's like, well, praise the Lord. And then it's on us. It's just like, well, it's sink or swim time, baby. We're just going to go after it. So nevertheless, we have the opportunity to receive a ministry gift in the form of Pastor and Mrs. Lynette Hagin. And they're going to be a tremendous blessing to us. And so in regards to them coming, we said that we want to receive them so that we're ready for what they bring. The Apostle Paul said, I long to see your face that I might impart spiritual gifts. So in other words, there is a relationship that takes place. There is a supply that they have. And therefore, upon them visiting or their time of visitation, there's the exchange. Right? And so in that, we started to make preparations. We started to get ready and prepare the church and everything of that nature. And I just know, and again, I'm just kind of reviewing a little bit here and just kind of speaking to some things in the regards of whether or not you've had these thoughts or had these conversations. And because you've pastored long enough, you just know that these thoughts come and these conversations are had. But it's like, well, why are we spending so much time in getting ready for these people? These are just people. Why are we doing all this extra? Why are we getting all the things prepared? Why are we getting everything looking good? Let me ask you the question. If you have house guests come to your house, do you not make ready your home for their visit? Yes, you do. If you're normal anyways. right? You're getting the house ready. You're preparing for their visit. And to the degree that you esteem that individual will be to the degree that you prepare for them, right? You prepare to the degree that you esteem them. In fact, for that matter, you know, we've been doing some painting and renovation at the house, and some people came over the other day. And so we finally tidied up and got things, you know, in place. And when they got there, we're starting to apologize. Excuse the mess. And they're like, what mess? Well, because you know that there's things out of place, you start to apologize, right? Because you just know what you want it to look like, right? And so once again, you might say, why do we do all this? Some may struggle with the efforts. Some may struggle with even the thought, you know what, I bet that costs some money to bring them in. Listen, this is not to per se honor or make such a big to-do about a person. You honor them. You honor the office and the gift. But the main thing of our preparation is for what God has for you and me. It's all about what the supply and the spiritual gifts and the tools and the ammunition that God is bringing to you and I. Because we are living in the last of the last days. And I'm telling you what, Genesee Valley Church has been called for such a time as this to make an impact in this community. Not just to be a church that people drive by, but a church that is known of the power of God. For there to be demonstrations, people that have come to this church to say, I need a miracle from God. And so therefore there is a supply that is coming to be deposited in this place for the season and the time that we're living. Amen. So we got a purpose to be ready to receive the gifts. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. So as I said, it prepares us to be matured or to grow, to do ministry, and to grow the church. Brother Hagin always used to say this. He had a message that he called raising hell. You were born to raise hell. Raise being spelt R-A-Z-E, meaning to tear down or to utterly destroy. Again, in the hour in which we live, what is your purpose for this hour? To raise hell. Come on, turn to your neighbor, say, it's time that you raise some hell. Amen. It's time that we utterly destroy and tear down the kingdom of hell in our families, in our schools, in our community, and in our church. Praise God. It's time to raise some hell because of what God is bringing to the church this hour and in this season. Amen. Come on. How many of you have met those individuals that they're stinkers, man? And they literally raise hell. And they're happy to do so. And they like it. And it makes them feel good. They look forward to it. Listen, for us people of God, we ought to have a swagger and an attitude about us that we just enjoy raising hell. That everywhere we go, something is happening because we show up. Everywhere we go, the devil gets nervous because we're there. Amen? And so once again, God is equipping us for such a time as this. Last week, we talked about recognizing and receiving the gift. Today, I want to talk to us about how we respond to the gift. You realize that you can receive the gift and make ready, but not only do we make ready and receive the gift, each and every one of us, we have to respond to the gift. Come on, turn to your neighbor, say, come on, you need to respond. Amen. Yeah, you got to say it with a little bit of twang, you know. Everybody asks me, say, where are you from? I'm from Michigan. You ain't from Michigan. I'm like, yes, I am. I just hang around these Southern guys, you know, and I start talking Southern. Anyways, we have to respond, and how we respond determines how we receive. I said, how you respond determines how you receive the gift. Let me give you an example or ask the question. How many of you could have received salvation sooner than you did? Yeah? I mean, many of us, we heard the gospel. There were Christians that came across our path. And the only reason why you didn't become a Christian sooner than you did is because of the time frame of which you responded. Right? So everything is based upon how we respond. What you receive from God is determined by how you respond. Amen? And so we have to know how to respond when the gifts come in. We only receive from God to the degree of how we respond. I could say it this way. We receive from the enemy to the degree of how we respond. Right? You know, you think about Adam and Eve. You realize that they were walking with God. They knew God. They experienced the presence of God. The enemy was in the garden as well. And you know the results. The results were that they fell and got thrown out of the garden. Right? Well, why did they get thrown out? Why did they fall? Because they responded not to God, but to the enemy. Right? So the result was based on who and what they responded to. Come on, how many of you know that in regards to your marriage or relationships, your relationships are all based on how you respond? Amen? I said your relationships are all about how you respond. You know, just the other night, it was a couple nights ago, my wife was sitting there and I came sitting next to her, kind of flopped down. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And she kind of grumbled. I'm like, oh. You know how it is, guys. You know, you get next to your wife and within 1 second, you're like, ah, this ain't going good. There's something here. There's some body language. There's some tension in the air. You can feel it, you know. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, so what's up? And she's like, well, you know how you responded to your kids. I said, well, yeah. She said, well, you just need to stop letting the devil just, you know, she's just letting me have what for, you know. She goes, you just let the devil, and you just act stupid, and you just talk stupid. And I'm just like, well, look at you, Miss Fancy Pants. I said, that was an hour ago, and you're still thinking on and meditating on. Who's listening to the devil now, right? It's all in based on how you respond, right? And so you can respond to God, or you can respond to the devil. God can only move in your life to the degree that you respond. Let me say that again. God can only move to the degree that you respond. We want God to move in our church, but he won't move beyond the degree that you respond to him. Right? In fact, let me say it this way. God doesn't move based upon, how do I want to say that? You don't receive based upon what has been made available. You receive based upon what you respond to. Give you an example. The Bible says that by his stripes you are healed. Right. The Bible says that God sent his word and healed your diseases. So therefore, we go to God praying, bawling, and squalling and saying, God, I need you to heal me. God, I need you to heal me. God, I need you to heal me. And obviously, there's the gifts of the Spirit. We know that God does minister to people. He heals people. We know that there are working of miracles. But for the most part, God's waiting for us to respond to what he's already done. Healing has already been made available, and oftentimes we're looking to God to do something, and all he's wanting us to do is to respond to what he's already been made available, right? Say, healing belongs to me. So that means I have to respond to what he's made available. But once again, we oftentimes look and say, well, dear God, if God would just do that, if God, you know, I don't know that God's going to answer my prayers. No, he's already answered it. It already belongs to us. It's a matter of how do I respond? Amen. And I said, we don't receive based upon on what has been provided, but that which we respond to. You know, years ago, again, I told you in regards to relationships that you have, probably close to 20 years ago, we met a couple. They were a part of the Rhema family. They were directors at the time, and they became our pastors. And they just became such a blessing to our life. Well, then, as a result of them being our pastors, they would have guest ministers come in. And so we would oftentimes go to their meetings. And as a result, we would develop relationships with those ministry gifts because of the relationship that we had with our pastors. The same thing works for you. Amen? There's a ministry that's coming tonight that you'll develop a relationship with. Why? Because of the relationship you have with us, and they'll be a blessing to your life. Well, this one particular minister came into their church, and I never knew who he was, but his name was Dr. Ed Dufresne. Well, as he was ministering, he was extremely bold. I mean, he was one of these guys that would just tell you what for. I mean, he would almost offend you at times, you know, but he was just very bold. And he was also used mightily in the ministry of healing. And he says, one of the things that God uses me for or in is to minister to people that have cancer. And he said, if you have anybody or know of anybody that has cancer, bring them tonight and we're going to minister to them. Well, there was an extended family member that had cancer at the time and he was doing very poorly. And I called my parents. I said, hey, listen, I said, you know, I don't know if Dave would be interested in coming. I said, but there's this guy up here. There's this minister. And I said, he's got a special anointing that he ministers to people that have cancer. I said, why don't you see if he wants to come up and maybe bring him up? So my parents called Dave and said, hey, listen, this is what's going on. And would you like us to come and get you? We'll take you up there and he can minister to you. And he says, yeah, I would love that. So he's getting ready to go. Well, during the process of getting ready, he had a morphine IV drip or an IV that was there all the time. Well, in the process of getting ready, the morphine IV pulled out. Well, he called my parents and he says, hey, listen. He said, the morphine, the IV got pulled out. The hospice nurse is coming and they're going to bring in and put in the new IV. So he said, listen, I can't go. He said, thanks for the invite, but I got to wait for the nurse. Now, why do I share that with you? Now, understand this. When you're going through the battle of sickness and disease, we never point fingers to say, well, they're lacking faith. Or to say, well, if they only woulda, coulda, shoulda. But here's what it showed me, is that in that moment, his cancer was greater than the promise of God. You hear what I'm saying? His fear of not having his morphine painkiller was a greater reality than the promise of God concerning sickness and disease. And therefore, rather than going where the power of God was going to be, he chose to stay home and wait for the nurse, and shortly thereafter, he died. My point is this, is understanding what God is sending. And when you understand what God is bringing, then not only can we receive that gift, but we respond to that so that we can receive the impartations of that gift. Amen? Are you doing all right? All right. And God also said this to me one time. He says, whatever you tolerate, he says, I have to allow. How many of us tolerate things in our life? Whether it be sickness, disease, oppression, depression, worry, anxiety, simple things. How many times do we just tolerate things? God has made the answer already available to what we have need of, but too often times we're just simply tolerating it. And God says, well, if you'll tolerate it, then I have to allow it, right? How many times do we tolerate division and schism within our marriage? And God says, well, if that's what you want. Well, if you just change my spouse. God's not going to talk to you about your spouse. He's going to talk to you about you. It's time that you respond to what I've made available. Right? If you have children that are disrespectful. Well, if you allow your children to be disrespectful, so will God. If you tolerate it, God will allow it. God, would you just change my children? Will you just fix them? Will you just slap them upside the head? He said, well, I ain't going to slap them upside the head unless you do. All right. And that was just my dad. Oh, I could tell you some stories. Huh? Woo! Praise the Lord. Yeah. I think that's why I still walk a little stiff, you know. It's just like the memory of dad. Yeah. But I turned out okay. Amen. So once again, we are purposing to respond what God has made available. Amen. I said we're purposing to respond to what God has made available. Everything in our life is based on what we respond to. I made mention of concerning our relationships with our spouses. Our relationship is based on a series of responses, right? Your wife says something. I have a choice to respond to what she says. There's emotions or needs that my wife has. Therefore, I have a choice to respond to that, right? And to the degree that I respond to what she has need of is to the degree that she responds to me, right? For instance, I said, you know, I sat down next to my wife like, hey, baby, you know, and I'm just trying to, you know, butter her up. Well, her response told me how far I can go with her. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it's going to be a cold night. Praise the Lord. Woo! Well, do you know that your response determines how far God can go in the service? You know, we're wanting God to show up. We're wanting God to do this and that. We want God to move in a miraculous way. But God will only move in the midst of our church to the degree that you'll respond to Him. Amen. Well, you know what? I used to like church, but the pastor just ain't doing it for me anymore. You know, the worship team used to be good, but I don't like their singing anymore. Oh, the church could have done and should have done. And oh, if they only had this available, I think I'm going somewhere else. No, listen, if the church was something that ministered to you at one point in time, maybe there's just a lack of response that God is saying, I need you to do something to fill the void so that I can move in a greater way. But we always want to put it on someone else. Praise the Lord. And all the pastors said, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And no one can do your responding for you. I said, no one can do your responding for you. It's left up to you and to me. So I said all that to get us to this place. How do we respond? How do we respond to receive the gifts that come? Number one, you writing these down? Number one, you've got to show up. I said, you've got to show up. Let me read to you Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 14. In verse 14, it begins to say this. He says, more and more believers in the Lord, crowds of men and women, were constantly being added to their numbers to such an extent that even, that they even carried their sick out to the streets and put them on cots and sleeping beds, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on them with healing power. And the people from the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing the sick and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. So in that scripture, the first thing that we see is that people had to show up. We saw that Peter, a minister, an apostle, one that was bringing a spiritual supply, the Bible says that they came to bring people to them. In other words, they had to show up, right? So in other words, you can't receive something from someone that you're not there to receive. Number two, it says that when Peter came, they esteemed him not as just a mere man, but as a man of God. In other words, recognizing that there was something about him that would change their lives. So if all you do is come to church and say, well, that pastor's kind of funny, or that pastor's kind of boring, or I come for this or for that. Listen, if all you see is the natural side, you will not see the supply or the gift of the Spirit that's on the inside of them. So one, they showed up. Number two, they saw the supply in the man of God. Number three, it says that at least if the shadow was to fall on them, they would receive. What does that mean? It means not only did they show up, they positioned themselves to receive. So think about it. If they're bringing the sick to where Peter is, they got to first know where he's at. They got to do some research. They have to be intentional. Number two, they got to know where he's walking. But now listen, how many of you know that concerning the time of the day, the sun is at different stages in the sky, and therefore his shadow would have different cast, or it would be either short or it'd be long, right? So that tells me in order for them to have his shadow cast on them, they had to be extremely intentional where they placed their person. Oh man, it's almost high noon. There's hardly any shadow. That means I'm going to have to get my sick person real close to Peter in order for him to get healed. Or in other words, the sun's over here in the west. Therefore, the shadow's cast over here on the east side of Peter. So therefore, I'm not going to put my sick person over here. I got to get my sick person over here because this is where the shadow is. Are you getting what I'm saying? They had to show up with intentionality in order to receive the supply that Peter had. All right, number two. One, you have to show up. Number two, you have to tune in your receiver. I said, you have to tune in your receiver. How many of you remember the old radios where you had to turn the dial or push the buttons and there was the little needle that went across the face of the radio? Anybody? Come on, some of you old people ain't raising your hand. I know you know what I'm talking about, right? Or you start to turn it and it's getting close to the channel and it's kind of fuzzy, breaking in, breaking out, and then you tune it in and then finally it hits it. And when it's tuned in, you hear exactly what you want to hear, right? So as we come to receive and to respond, we have to tune in our receiver. How do we do that? Look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, and it says this, and we also thank God continually for this, that when you received the word of God concerning salvation, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its inherent supernatural power in those of faith. So when you tune in your receiver and begin to respond, what does that mean? When you hear the preaching of the word, we're not looking at a mere man delivering a message. We prepare our heart and say, God, you have something for me to hear. This is going to change my life. It's going to set my course. It's going to change my future because you're going to speak to me. It's not mere man talking to me, but as it truly is, it is God speaking to me through the vessel that you've sent. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I know that there's things that I need to have, that I need to hear. Praise God. You know, as you've been in ministry for lengths of time, you get to know other ministers. And so they make room for you, you know, come on up to the front or whatever. And so you just get to know through associations, different ministries. And so typically you just, again, you have relationships. But in my younger years, when I didn't know nobody, I was just hungry. I'd go to services of different ministers that I esteemed highly. And I went with such a hunger. And I would go sit. And now, because I didn't know nobody, I didn't get to sit right up front. I got to sit in the back corner. You know what I mean? And there's people everywhere. But inevitably, just about every service that I went to, because I was hungry to receive and responded to the ministry gift, without fail, nearly every single time, the minister would be up preaching and he would say, you, back there, you, no, not you, you, come here, come on up here. It was like there was a spotlight where God would call me out in the midst of the sea of people and God would speak into my life. Why? Because I was hungry for the things of God. Not going to hear just a mere man give a nice talk, but I was going to hear from heaven. Amen. I mean, there's been a number of times. Pastor Joey can tell you. You know, there's been times where you're in meetings, Pastor Mark is ministering, and I'm sitting over here, and Pastor Mark's over here, and I'm like, get over here. Get. I want you over here. You know, I'm pulling on the gift. You know what I'm saying? It's great you're talking to them over there, but I need you to come talk to me over here. And because I'm pulling on the gift, all of a sudden you'll find him swinging around and he starts walking over. And then he comes and he stands right next to you. And as he puts his hand on your shoulder, and then all of a sudden he starts speaking by the unction of the Holy Ghost, giving a prophetic word. He's not looking at me, but I'm thinking, dear God, that's why you came over here, because I was pulling on the gift and I needed what you had to say right now. And I receive it in Jesus' name, not as a man, but as the man of God. And I needed that for my future. Amen. So listen, we're purposing to pull and to receive and respond to the ministry gift. Amen. Are you doing okay? Remember what it says in, I think it's over in Luke. It talked about Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, if you remember, Martha comes to Jesus and Jesus is ministering. And she says to Jesus, you know, I'm trying to do all this stuff. And all Mary's doing is just sitting at your feet listening to your teaching. Can't you tell her to help me? And Jesus says something to Martha. He says, you know, you're busy about a lot of things. I think it's the Amplified says, you're worried and anxious and busy about a lot of things. He said, but, Mary has chose the good part, the part that's to her advantage. And he says, and that which she receives can never be taken away. I think for so many people, we get so busy in life that we miss God opportunities. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, hear what if I'm your pastor, don't get mad at me. Just say, you know what, I'm going to choose to be teachable. But if you've just said, you know, I could take it or leave it. I don't know that I need to be at these meetings. Listen, there is a good part to choose. You can be busy about a lot of things that don't produce fruit in your life. Or you can experience something eternal that will turn your life upside down. And starting tonight. Amen? Choosing the good part. You know, Colin, he's on the worship team. And we were talking just a couple of weeks back. And I so love and appreciate his hunger in his heart. You know, he was working on Wednesday. And we had our first Wednesday service. And during that time, he had a meeting at his work. And he had to go out of town. And so this was kind of a big to-do. And he said, I told them. He said, listen, I understand that we got a meeting and I'm here and I showed up. But he says, listen, he said, I've got church tonight and I've got to lead worship tonight. He said, so I know that I got to be here, but at 5:30, I'm leaving because there's a call on my life and I got to be where God's called me to be. What did he do? He chose the better or the good part. He chose to be in the place where God has assigned and called him to be for what he had to receive. Amen. Rather than being busy about much things. The devil will cause you to get so busy and distracted. And you'll make excuses and you'll justify and you'll say, I need to. You don't understand. But we're living in the last of the last days. And you need to receive what God has for you in this hour. Amen? You doing all right? Say, I still love you, Pastor. All right. Amen. Number three. First, I said you have to show up. Secondly, I said you have to tune in your receiver. Number three, you have to participate and reciprocate with your mouth. You have to participate and reciprocate with your mouth. What does that mean and what does that look like? That means when the minister is ministering, respond. In fact, before you even get to the place of hearing the ministry, man, when we come in here to worship God and praise God and get ready, you realize that the praise and worship is not just the prelude and just the warm up for the minister to come. No, it's for us to give our worship unto God so that we're ready to receive. So when it's time to praise God and worship God, man, let's lift our voice. Make a joyful noise. Did you notice a joyful noise? You don't even have to sing good. Just let it go. Let's give God our worship and praise. And then when the ministry begins to start and the preaching of the word comes, what can you do? You can respond. Well, I'm not used to doing that. Well, listen, it's okay. The more you'll do it, the more comfortable you'll be. Listen, all you guys, you've learned that with your wife, right? It sounds like this. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. She said, what did I say? I don't know. But I just was, yes, dear. Right? Well, listen, you can respond to a minister. What does that mean? Amen. Praise God. That's right. Oh, that's good preaching. What does it do? It engages you in the ministry. And when you do that, it draws on the gift that is on the inside of that minister. And they begin to pour out of their spirit more so because you begin to draw and pull on that which is on the inside. Amen. I'm telling you what, if you'll find that you start pulling more, they'll start preaching more. And you might find that you hear revelation things of things that you've been waiting for God to talk to you about. Because you purpose to draw and pull and to respond to the ministry gift. Amen? And lastly, number four. Responding to the gift in your giving. Respond to the gift in your giving. And you're like, yep, I knew it was coming. I knew we'd get to that place. We'd get to that place where we're talking about money. No, listen, it's not about money. It's about responding to the gift. Notice what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. It says, this is the minister speaking. He says, if we have sown spiritual things to you, it is a great thing if we reap material things from you. In other words, there's an exchange. As they minister, you give out of your natural things. So let me ask you this. Have you been praying about what you are going to give when you come? Or did you just come with the idea, well, I'll just come and try it out and see if I want to give something. Or I'll just give a tip or a token when I come, you know, just because the bucket's going to be passed and I got to put something in there, you know, right? Or did you pray about what am I going to, God, what do you want me to give? Because my giving is in direct correlation to what I'm about to receive. And therefore, because I'm purposing to hear from heaven, God, as they sow into my life, I'm going to sow into their life. And there is a spiritual supply and an exchange that takes place. The scripture talks about having fruit that remains. When there's a deposit, seed that is sown, the seed of God's word, I want the word of God to flourish on the inside of me and manifest in my life. Well, how do I do that? I can sow back in to that ministry gift. Amen? Are you doing okay? Why don't you stand with me? God's doing some amazing things in our church, in our community. And this is just the beginning. I want to challenge you here as you're listening to be here. Receive the gift and respond. Real quickly, I'll share a brief story of Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin said, and I don't remember, it's been so long since I heard the story, but he went in and I think it was a minister friend that was sick and was dying. And he went to see the ministry friend to either pray for him or minister to him. And he said, but while he was there, he said, Jesus showed up and he said, I'm here to heal this minister. And so he said, the minister stood up, got out of bed and actually walked over to where Jesus was and actually looked like he was trying to receive something or extended his hands. But then he sat back down and says, I can't receive my healing. And Brother Hagin said to him, he says, no, listen, he says, Jesus has come and has showed up in a miraculous way to minister health and healing to you. You can receive your healing. And he said he stood up again and is looking like he was going to receive. And Jesus is standing right there. And he said again, no, I can't. And he laid back down in the bed. And Jesus turned to Brother Hagin and said, see, I came to minister to him. But because he won't respond to what I've brought, he will not live much longer. Jesus left the room and then shortly thereafter that man passed away. What God is bringing is a supply that will change your life. Now I believe that I'm speaking by the unction of the Holy Spirit here. And so again, don't let this rub you wrong. Purpose to hear it with the right ear. What if God has something for you in these meetings that will change the rest of your life? Some of you have family members, son and daughters, that have been tormented by the devil. And you have said, I wish I could do something to help them. I wish I could say something. I wish I could make it change or do something different for them to be free. Maybe in these meetings, there is equipment and tools that you have need of that will set your children free. But you have to be available to receive and to respond. Don't miss your day of visitation. Don't miss what God has. This is not my attempt to try to manipulate you in being here. I'm saying don't miss what God has for this hour. Amen. Would you bow your head? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for just challenging our heart to not only receive, but to respond to the ministry gifts. For God, we're living in a time that you have sent us a general in the faith that is going to minister wisdom, minister the anointing, minister the word. And I thank you that we'll forever be changed as a result. So we'll not take it lightly. We'll esteem it highly. And we thank you, Father, for that which you are depositing in this place will be seen and felt and experienced from here on out. So we give you all the praise and thanks. And everyone said, amen and amen.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.